the war in heaven, and the reason for the war in heaven. We find this in Isaiah chapter 14. How have you fallen from heaven, O day star, son of the dawn? You have been cut down to the ground, O destroyer of nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you will be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. The most beautiful angel in God's creation challenged God's authority and set his sights on the throne. In the process, he created a divide in the heavenly hosts. He created a choice between himself and the Almighty. We're taught that one-third of the angels set their sights on Lucifer and two-thirds remained loyal to the Father. We learn more about this in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 12. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. The war for the hearts and minds of those on the earth. True to form, now that Satan finds himself bound to the earth, his aspirations are to take the throne of the whole world. He is determined that his way is as good as God's. It is amazing that God allows every challenger to bring his case to be proven. Yet it is essential. It is the prerequisite to the final outcome, wherein, by free will, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. All challengers will be found lacking. Satan and his minions are at work on the earth, creating a stronghold against God and all that belongs to him. The account of Revelation 12:9 is likely the place where the enemy sowed tares among the wheat that Jesus spoke of in his parable. As the tares reach the throne of this world, evil will be called good, and good will be called evil. The accuser is among us, hissing in the ears of the tares. We that are the faithful body of Christ are in harm's way, as the soul in every case is redeemed from the corruptible flesh through death. Our eternal inheritance makes us more than conquerors, as death has no power over us. To make a point, it is written that the eternal soul created by God has been around since long before their birth into this world. This is evidenced by God telling Jeremiah, Before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. And again, a reference to those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. It is therefore likely that we were all present when the war arose in heaven. Every soul participated in the rebellion either for or against God. Everyone born on this earth has a pre-existing condition, having already made a stand in that war to be for or against God the Father. Given this to be true, we are culpable for our circumstances here on earth. This speaks directly to the doctrine of election and predestination. Things which God knows about us, which we do not. When God said, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will not have mercy on whom I will not have mercy," there may be a pretext which we own. Who is responsible for your circumstances? Do you secretly blame God? We were created into the presence of God by God Himself and given a free will. After having exercised our free will in the rebellion, there were at least four camps: those for God, those against God, those on the fence, and the liars. So, sorting the wheat from the chaff, we must be born into this world, which serves as a testing ground. In the life we now live, God has hidden Himself, and we must believe in order to find Him. Therefore, the purpose of this life is to reveal our true character, which God already knows, yet we do not. It is our lot to be faithful unto death to receive the crown of life. To reverberate the effect of the war in heaven and to evaluate your own standing, Jesus said, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that does not gather with me scatters." God made an easy resolution for us all. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Perhaps this brings into focus what you need to be saved from. To the believer who has been born again, the relationship that we have with the living Christ causes these truths to be well with our soul. This account presents a plausible, non-heretical explanation as to the question, why are we here? It introduces an explanation to the doctrine of election and predestination in the foreknowledge of God. To the non-believer, these things seem folly, but the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. To validate and clarify this account, the following is a portion of a letter from Paul to the church in Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his presence. In love he predestined us for adoption as his sons through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the Beloved One. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, that he has lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together in Christ. In him we are also chosen as God's own, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything by the counsel of his will, in order that we who were first to hope in Christ would be for the praise of his glory. And in him, having heard and believed the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the pledge of our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Having come this close to the truth may cause you to ponder things differently. The seed has been planted. The fertility of your heart will determine your destiny.